It's time for the truth. Will you join me in studying the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We do that by a study of the precious Word of God. This is our 100th program, and I hope that you've been with us for every program that we've had. This is number 100. I love to proclaim the Word of God. I enjoy studying the Word of God. We call it the truth because we search the Scripture verse by verse. Now, we have completed, I'm going to make a few comments yet in Jonah before we get completely away from it. You didn't think I could leave it completely, did you? Well, we're going to make a few comments of that, but we're going to go to the book of Philippians. So while you're finding the book of Philippians in your Bible, and I love for you to read along with me, look for the book of Philippians. If you have to go back to the index, that's fine. You go back and find that book, and you open it up to the book of Philippians. We're going to read the first 10 verses here in just a little bit. But please that you would find that for us as we're going to study in the book of Philippians. As you are looking for that, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, and we're located at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And you know, we talk about the services that we have. We spend most of our time speaking and talking about the Word of God and enjoying the precious Word. And you know, I want to share with you very, very quickly, before we begin the study today, in the last 100 weeks as we have been on the radio, we have studied the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Jonah. It took us 23 weeks to go through 4 chapters in the book of Jonah. But boy, did we have fun. We enjoyed that precious word and that precious little book. Well, during that same period of time, during that same 100 weeks, I have preached on Sunday morning out of 600 different verses of Scripture. On Sunday night, we have studied in the book of Luke from chapter 9 to the 24th chapter, which is the end of the book, and the first 7 chapters of the book of Isaiah. On Wednesday night, we have studied the whole book of Leviticus, 27 chapters, and the first 25 chapters of the book of Numbers. That's on Wednesday night. Now, that's just the Scripture verses that we have studied from. That doesn't mean all the cross-references and things that we have. And I want to show you how much we love studying the precious Word of God. That does not include Tuesday afternoon at the ladies' Bible study. That does not include an additional Thursday night Bible study once a month in La Harpe and once a month or a couple times a month in the Alexandria area, down in Alexandria, Missouri, as we come together and study the Word of God. It does not include those times. It does not include the Sunday school classes that we have. You know, we love studying the Word of God. Now, I hope that you've enjoyed the study, but there's nothing more important and more enjoyable than doing that. And when I added up the verses of Scripture that I preached from, and to think we've been through 600 different verses of Scripture during that 100 weeks since we've been on the radio. Now please, that you come together, and again, for the study of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in the book of Jonah, now we're going to Philippians as we continue to study different areas of the Word of God so that you may, again, come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Before we read this, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we were going to discuss Jonah just for a few minutes, then we'll begin the study in Philippians. And so please, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read this Scripture this morning, a little different than usual. Father, I thank and praise You for Your precious Word. As I have my Bible out before me and as we're beginning the study, I ask that You will please touch our hearts. You know the words that we're going to search, and as we're going to read the first 10 verses in the book of Philippians, the first chapter, and as first as we're going to look at a few of these things concerning Jonah before we complete this book and go on, I just ask for Your wisdom. I ask that You touch every heart. And Father, as we have come together many times now, I ask that we have faithful listeners. I ask that they listen to this precious Word week after week, that they enjoy it, that it grows them closer to You, or maybe it grows them to You, because You know, Father, that we must come by faith to Jesus first and then grow in the Word of God. So please that You guide and lead us today as we study Your precious Word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This sweet word in Jonah, and I shared with you where we're going to take just a couple of minutes, and I mean that, not long today. But you know, as we followed through with Jonah and the way he ran away and then he listened to the Lord, and then when it came to a close in the 4th chapter, And this is the point that I don't want you to forget, because in preparing for the study in Philippians, we find that Paul is in a Roman prison as he is penning this letter to the church of Philippi. And to think that this man, Paul, is in prison writing to the church and has great joy. And his goal, and as you'll find very quickly here, that as we begin in Acts concerning the Philippian jailer as he was saved, the Lydia, the seller of purple, we're going back into Acts chapter 16. And so you can see I'm kind of tying everything together here, but I want you to realize what happened to Jonah. Jonah, for some reason and somehow, got his eyes away from listening, his ears away from listening to God's word. Now, we do the same thing, and when we do that, when we get our ears away from listening to God's word, now don't lose me here, because many of us are so used to a polluted gospel, we're so used to a watered-down scripture, a watered-down Bible that seems to have no power or authority. We have preachers everywhere that stand in the pulpit that proclaim a dry and a dead gospel. They don't speak of the living Jesus. They don't tell people how to be saved. And they wouldn't know what to do if someone was saved. They would probably ignore it, thinking they were just having some religious experience. Well, my friend, there's the greatest day you ever had, the day that you meet Jesus. That you meet Jesus at the cross of Calvary and you're saved. And for this whole city of Nineveh to repent and turn unto the Lord should have been the most exciting day, next to the day that Jonah was saved. It should have been the most exciting day in this man's life. And instead of that, he had more joy and excitement over a gourd that grew up over his head to shade him from the sun of the day and the heat of the day. Now, you wonder how that connects with you and what's that have to do with me? Well, what happens, and that is that as we're going to study the love that Paul has for the church and the love that he has for these people in Philippi, and how that the church must stay together and close together and love each other and care for each other, the same is lacking in Jonah's life, because he had no care for these people. He didn't care if a man died and went to hell. And matter of fact, he preferred that these folks did. Now, if you're not sincere about the search of the Word of God, you better check your heart and see whether you're truly saved. You know, people come and go. They do it here, and I'm sure they do it in your church, and shame on you if you don't go to church. But people do not see the need or the desire to be in the house of God, to search the Word of God, to study it. The whole purpose of that is so we can be Christ-like. And the desire of the heart of God is that folks would be saved. And so, you see, we acquire that sweet heart, that caring heart. We have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those things flow from us. Well, as those things flow from us, you find that your desire and your hunger to see people saved, to bring them to where they have the same gift that you have, that gift of salvation, and you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and that joy is there. But you see, when you kind of, as Jonah, come and go, and one minute you're happy, another minute you're mad, and you get more joy out of a new car than you do out of hearing the Word of God and letting the Word of God touch your heart, there's something seriously wrong with you. And when people today come into the church, and they just come and go. They come one week, and then you miss them for 2 weeks. And then maybe they'll be there for 2 or 3 weeks, then you'll miss them again. There's something seriously wrong. Now, I ask that you examine your heart and that you come to study that precious word. And don't miss an opportunity to be in the house of God. And don't be a Jonah, one that's more excited about material things and getting the heat off his head than snatching people from the heat and the burning fire of hell. And see that you don't fall into that same line, that you got more cares in this world and you love this world much more than you love Jesus. Much more than you love to see somebody saved. I hope that never comes into your mind and into your heart, and I hope that you desire to see people saved and get into a church that does. Now, we're going to close Jonah out there, because I want to show you one more time. I didn't want you to see something that when the worm come, the worm killed the gourd, and the gourd died, and Jonah was mad. Well, it seems like that I can get people in a fuss in this church probably faster than anything else in the same way, because if something in this world aggravates them, it yanks them right out of the house of God. Their desires to serve this world are so much greater than desires to serve God. And please, that we turn our ways away from this world and turn our heart and our eyes unto Jesus to serve Him and to walk after Him. Don't be a Jonah. Don't be one that has his eyes upon the world and the things of the world, and it satisfies more than you'd love to see somebody saved. Please, that you want to see somebody saved. Get your eyes focused, and that you'll forget so many things, and there'll be a lot of things that won't bother you as much anymore if you get your eyes moved around a little bit. And we're going to find that here in Philippians. This is just a total shift here, and as we look at Paul and his desire to see people saved. And so that's the reason we're going to Philippians. I've been praying about this, and whenever we started Jonah, I knew we were going to Philippians next. This is one of the few times I knew exactly where we were moving to. And maybe that doesn't seem like a straight transition to you, but we're moving there, and I hope that you found it. And please, that you let me read now the first 10 verses of the book of Philippians as we begin the study through this short book. And if you'll notice, if you'll glance across, you'll realize we only have 4 chapters in the book of Philippians. And so please, that we enjoy this precious study and learn so much of the Word of God. Again, Philippians chapter 1, the first 10 verses, Paul and Timothy, a servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. I, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Oh, a beautiful scripture verses that we're reading. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm reading the book of Jonah or I'm reading the book of Philippians. It doesn't matter what book of the Bible. As I shared with you all the scripture verses that we've covered, the many different areas that I've preached from in the last 100 years. Listen to that, 100 weeks. It sure went faster than 100 years, and it sure went faster than 100 weeks. It's come by so quickly as we have enjoyed this precious time together. But you know, as we look at the Word, I believe the Word of God. I believe that everything took place in the book of Jonah, and I believe that everything is taking place here in the book of Philippians. And as we look at this, so many things, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. Now, that's just completely different from Jonah, isn't it? Now, let's go back. You know, we have a lot of things here in the Scripture, and I'd like to share with you just a few minutes. The main theme is the rejoicing in the Lord. Or if we want to narrow that down to something a little bit shorter, let's call it joy. And that's what this whole precious book, these 4 chapters, and you know, they've kind of divided these chapters. And if we have chapter 1, we are to set forth Christ as our life. Chapter 2, we're to set forth Christ as our example. Chapter 3, we're to set forth Christ as our object. And chapter 4, we're to set forth Christ as our strength and supply. It's kind of divided the 4 chapters up in that manner, but it all comes down to Christ is all, rejoicing in the Lord. And again, if you want to bring it down just to that word rejoice or to that word joy. And you know, this book is a very practical book. Now, we left Jonah, and a lot of people when we started that book thought that was just a fish story. Well, this book here in Philippians, you found out that the book of Jonah was a very practical book too, wasn't it? We covered an awful lot of things in the book of Jonah. Well, we're going to do the same thing here in the book of Philippians, because you'll find it to be a very practical book. And it makes us realize that, you know, we have the free gift of salvation. When you come to Jesus Christ and you meet him at the cross, when that happens, when you meet Jesus at the cross, we receive the free gift of eternal life. Salvation is ours upon coming to Jesus, meeting him in there. And you know, as we come, the faith draws us, the Holy Spirit draws us unto him. And you know, that's the reason it's so important that we study the precious word. We search the precious word. It does a couple things. It draws you to Jesus so that you can be saved. And then it grows us in the Lord Jesus. And you know, with growth comes responsibility. And you're going to find that in this book of Philippians as well. Because not only is it a very practical book, but it's also a book that tells us of our responsibility. It gives us and lifts us up to a point that we realize that if we're discouraged and if you're down, this book is going to be a joy to your heart. And again, I read that one verse. Always in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy. That's Paul in prison speaking to the church of Philippi. Now, I don't know if you're in prison right now and listening to this radio program. And if you are, my dear friend, this word's for you. If you're not, and if you're sitting at your kitchen table, if you're out doing the chores, or if you're driving to church, or whatever you might be doing this morning, maybe you're at work and you have the opportunity to have the radio on and listen to the program, whatever you're doing this morning, I tell you that everything, Christ is all. He is everything. Now, I want you to see that, and I want you to realize that whatever walk you have, if you're walking down the road set right to hell, you need to turn around and come to Jesus today, and you can be saved by meeting him at the cross. But if you want to, if you have done that, if you've come to Jesus by faith and been saved, you need to begin this walk. And through that walk, you'll find much, much persecution, as we have Paul in prison here for preaching the gospel. There'll be much persecution, and yet you'll have the power and the strength to walk each day, no matter what sickness you have, no matter what heartache you have, no matter what tragedy comes your way, you're going to be able to walk with joy, with great joy, because of this precious word. Now, please, that you follow along as we enjoy the study of this scripture. We have talked about the book of Philippi, of Philippians, and again, it's to the church of Philippi. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He was in prison in Rome, and they estimate the time about 61 to 63 A.D. is when they believe that this scripture was recorded, or this letter was written to Philippi. Now, we need to go back just a little bit, and you're going to find out today that we're not even going to barely get other than just to read a few verses of Philippians, because we need to go back and find out the first time that Paul went to Philippi. And we can find that back in the 8th verse of chapter 16 of Acts. Acts chapter 16, verse 8. Now, if you want to turn back there with me, that's just great. And if you want to just listen, why, that's fine too. But we're going to read several verses of Scripture here concerning what took place. Because we find in the 8th verse, chapter 16 of Acts, verse 8, that he was down in Troas. And the 9th verse begins, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, beseeching him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us." That was a call, a vision that Paul heard, a vision that he seen, something that come right to the heart of Paul. And after he had seen, verse 10 tells us, again I'm back in Acts now, chapter 16, verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." Oh, isn't that different? Isn't that so much different than the whole story of Jonah, time after time? You know, Jonah listened to the word of God and he ran away. Now here's Paul, he sees a vision of a man in Macedonia, and that word comes to him and says, "Please come and help us." And immediately he rose up and those that were with Paul, and they headed right for Macedonia, because they just knew the gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Why would Paul want to get there so quickly? And why would it be so urgent to Paul to get to the land, the country of Macedonia? My friend, because he wanted to tell people about Jesus. He wanted to tell people that Jesus saves. Will you repent? Will you turn from your ways and come unto Jesus today and be saved? That's the call that Paul put out. Jesus is alive. He is resurrected. Come to Jesus today. And that was the call. Now, I'm making that same call to you. You know, we don't need two Pauls. I'm no Paul. I'll never be a Paul. But my friend, I can be a preacher. I can be a proclaimer of the Word of God. You can be a proclaimer of the Word of God. Oh, we need to get out of these sin-sick churches and get into a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, that tells people how to be saved, that tells people that Jesus is alive. Most of the people in our churches today don't believe that Jesus is alive. They don't live like Jesus is alive. I got folks in this church that don't live like Jesus is alive. They live like they serve a dead Christ. A dead Messiah. Oh, my friend, that breaks my heart. And you can tell it in their life. You can tell it in the desire to search the Word or the desire not to search the Word. The desire to be caught up in so many things of the world. Jonah was caught up with the things of the world to the point that he did not see or desire that people would be saved. And when they were, he really wasn't happy. He just assumed those people had died and went to hell. But Paul, being totally opposite, said, Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's hurry. Let's rush to go. And so they, loosing from Troas, verse 11 says, and from there they come, in verse 12, and from there to Philippi, which is a chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding days. And on the Sabbath, they'd gotten there. And I don't know whether Paul was looking for this man that he'd seen in his vision, but it says, come and help us. And so it doesn't really, the vision didn't really explain there'd be a man to meet there. He just, this man said in his vision, come and help us. And they rushed there. They rushed there to tell the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They'd abide there. It was abiding there several days, certain days, it says in verse 12. And 13 says, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was accustomed to be made, and we sat down and we spoke to the women who resorted there. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of the purple, the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Listen to this. Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful when Paul rushes to this land of this country of Macedonia, and he comes to the chief city, which is Philippi. That's the book that we're studying, Philippians, the church of Philippi. It's one of the same. And as he rushed there, and he had this opportunity, then after being there many days, and he goes down to the side of the coast, to the waters there, and he finds this group of ladies down there having a prayer meeting. And he finds one particularly, Lydia, a seller of the purple of the city of Thyatira. She was there. And she worshipped God, but she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. You know, it's hard to imagine that you can come and you can sit in church and you can sit in this church and you can sit in the church where you go and you can be as lost and hell-bound as a person that has never stepped foot in church, is a drunkard, is a man that curses the name of God, that person is no further away from heaven than what you might be if you have ignored the call of God, if you have not listened to the call to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. This lady here worshiped God. She desired to know God. Well, when she heard the word of Paul, and Paul preached unto her the gospel that Jesus saves, oh, my dear friend, and I can hear Paul telling Lydia, do you know about this Jesus that I know? Because he'll save you from your sin, and you can be free. Bondage will be gone, and set free from this the bonds of this life, and you can serve and worship a living God. Will you come to him today? I can hear Paul telling Lydia this. And she listened, and the Lord opened. Paul didn't open the heart of Lydia. The Lord opened it. And when I proclaim the word of God, the Lord opens your heart. He does it by his precious word, by the Holy Spirit coming down and convicting your heart, and he opens your heart. I can't, nor can any other man. But the word of God and the power of God, it says here, and the Lord opened the heart, and she attended to the things which Paul had spoken. Now listen, she was listening. Oh, I beg you to listen. Please, will you get away from sometimes, and so many of you folks have been taught lies. You have been taught that you don't need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That you don't need to come to Christ and know a time, know a place. I can take you right to the place where I met Jesus. And I have been in church all of my life. I was raised in church, and I praise God for my folks because they took me to church. They took me to Sunday school, and I praise God for them. But you know, until the day that I heard the gospel clearly and that gospel touched my heart, and when it touched my heart and I had to respond to that, I had to trust in Jesus. I had an opportunity to ignore it or to accept it. And I praise God that I accepted that day. That day that I got down on my knees between the Pharaoh house and the house, and only you farmers will understand what that's like to be between the Pharaoh house and the house, because you have chores to do. You got chores to do every Sunday morning, don't you? Well, my friend, you can be saved right now as you're doing your chores. You can be saved wherever you're at, because I was halfway between the Pharaoh house and the house, and I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. And I praise God that He saved me. Just as Lydia here heard the word, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. I'm reading the scripture, chapter 16, verse 14. When she was baptized, see what happened after she trusted the Lord? Maybe that's a step that you haven't followed in. You'll never be baptized before you're saved. Every time in the Word of God, baptism comes after salvation. You trust in Jesus Christ. You must be after the age of accountability. And I don't know how old that is. That can be very young. That can be fairly old. Whenever you realize, and I'm not going to name that age. You know, some churches have named that age of 12, 13 years old. They send you through confirmation, instruct you in the Word of God, and then think that you know everything, and so that you must be saved, and so now we're going to let you join the church. You know, that age isn't a magic age. The age that you realize that you're wrong and the Word of God touches your heart, that better be the day that you trust in Jesus Christ and come to know the Lord Jesus. And then follow Him in baptism. Scriptural baptism is immersion, not sprinkling. It's immersion. And you go down into the water. It doesn't matter how much water. I used to have a man that used to kid me about how much water it took to baptize. It doesn't matter how much water. It's got to be enough to go down under. Because you picture the old life and you go down under into the water and it pictures your death as you die in Jesus Christ. You come up out of that water, it pictures the resurrection. Jesus Himself was baptized by John the Baptist to give us a picture and to show how thrilled, because at that time this dove came down. It descended upon the Lord Jesus, and we hear the words of God the Father. Now please, that you know Jesus, that you walk after Jesus, that you trust the Lord Jesus. Follow Him in baptism. Maybe you've never followed Him in baptism. My friends, you need to be baptized. Not for salvation, but you need to be baptized to be obedient unto the Lord. And you know, this lady did. She immediately was baptized. If ye judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us, and they went and visited. You know, we're out of time already. We'll begin there, and we're going to finish, because we're going to go one more picture concerning the Philippian jailer. That's the beginning of the church of Philippi. That's what leads up to this beautiful letter that Paul writes to this church. Now, my friend, as this Lydia, this seller of the purple, she opened her heart up. Please open your heart up. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?